Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, this is Sari from Heritage Radio Network. You are listening to us live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. We're in our studio in the back of Roberta's. And today we have Vickery Eckhoff. She is what one might call a horse meat expert. She has done in-depth expose on the horse meat issue that's going on. And she's actually been writing about horse meat since 2011. So, Vickery, hi.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. So we're talking horse meat today.
Yes.
And I know that you said there's been some recent developments that have been happening in the whole horse meat scandal. And so why don't you fill us in and what's been happening and then sort of get us up to date.
Okay. So aside from what's been going on in Europe, we have several states in the U.S. that are trying to open horse slaughter plants, which have been closed since 2007. And any day now, the governor of Oklahoma could possibly sign into law legislation that would overturn a 50-year ban on horse meat in that state. And then at the same time, there's a New Mexican plant that is looking to get inspection funding from the USDA to also open a plant. And there are three other plants also looking to open. So there might be some in our future.
So has this been happening in the wake of the scandal, or is it that was something that's been, you know, they've been working on for a while?
Well, they've been working on it for a while, but they've kept it very much off the radar.
Okay.
I know many people have been trying to find out from the USDA if there were any slaughter plants that were trying to open, and the USDA said no. And then, of course, we found out that there were. So it was well hidden. Mm-hmm. And they've been working on it throughout this scandal, and it is a very odd time for them to be pushing the production of horse meat in the United States, and particularly so because Europe has banned the import of U.S. horse meat, so I don't know where they're going to sell it.
Is there any correlation in timing between what's going on over there and then the push? It feels like the push has become more aggressive.
Well, I think any time you have people pushing horse slaughter, as soon as the news becomes public, it becomes a very aggressive fight on their side, and they bring out all their big lobbying dollars from the farm lobby and the cattlemen's lobby and from agricultural, you know, corporations. And the ag sector in the United States is very well funded and it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of money from outside of the state of Oklahoma trying to get these plants opened. And of course, they will be funded with federal tax dollars. So that means you and I, sitting here in Brooklyn, would be putting up the money to slaughter horses in Oklahoma, which they will then export mm-hmm. to Europe, and Europe doesn't even want it. So it's a little strange.
That's not okay at all.
No.
So who are these lobbyists? I mean, what is the benefit of opening horse slaughter plants?
Well, horse meat is cheap because right. It's not raised the way other livestock are for food. Basically, you get horse meat from horses that are old racehorses, or maybe not old. They could be 3 years old. But they are horses that are picked up cheaply at auctions. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of drugs in their systems. And I brought some with me today.
Yay.
They're dangerous. And, in Europe, the horse meat has been used as a filler to with beef. And,
right.
of course, that's illegal. But beef is a lot more expensive, and I think the cattlemen's lobby in the United States sees a big market for it in Europe. I don't really view it that way myself, but they see an opportunity, and they're using humane arguments to try and get people to buy off on it.
So they think once people know they're eating horse meat, they'll want it.
Well, you know, people in Europe have been wanting less of it.
Yeah.
But the sales of horse meat have been going up because so much has been illegally mixed in with beef that nobody knows about.
Right.
So, and, you know, there are always people looking to capitalize on an economic opportunity, mm-hmm. even when it's not good for the majority of, you know, most U.S. Citizens don't want it. Mm-hmm. We don't eat it. They don't want it. And I think if they knew they had their tax dollars were going to come strip money away from other agricultural food programs, they would be against it.
I think so, too.
But they don't, you know, most of the details of this issue are not well known by Americans, and the legislators in Oklahoma pretty much did not allow any public debate on this issue, so they're kind of ramming it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were asking me about other things that were scandalous about it.
Right, yeah.
Well, last week there was quite a bit of media attention around a YouTube video that surfaced, and the YouTube video was shot by an employee of the New Mexican plant that is trying to open, and in it, he led a very healthy-looking horse into camera range, and he patted it, and he said to the audience, to all you animal activists, blank you, and then shot the horse in the head.
Horrifying.
Yes, very horrifying. And, of course, he started to get a lot of unpleasant phone calls after that. And so I started looking into it, and I interviewed the owner, and the next day his lawyer threatened me.
How so?
He sent me a series of emails in which he said that my writing, which is very uncontroversial,
right,
had possibly incited people to act in a violent way in calling in death and bomb threats.
Wow.
And I write about food safety, so I hardly think that it encourages people to do that. But so what he said was that he was threatening to prosecute me under the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act and also to take legal action against me for exercising my First Amendment rights as a journalist to educate the public.
Okay. Well, what about the violent act that this individual committed, shooting a horse? Is there no legal repercussions towards that?
Well, the New Mexico Livestock Board is looking into this as a possible incidence of animal abuse.
I mean, yeah, animal cruelty alone, I'm pretty sure, is illegal.
It is, although in many states, it's not illegal to slaughter your own horse.
Okay.
And so the lawyer for this... the man who uploaded the YouTube video is named Tim Sappington. He was an employee of Valley Meats. They have since fired him. But when I initially brought the video to their attention and I asked what kind of threats had been phoned into the slaughterhouse, they didn't really want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the lawyer in his statement said that Mr. Sappington was exercising his legal right to slaughter and eat a horse, and he did not consider that his shooting his horse in the head while swearing at animal activists to be a threat.
Okay.
But he did consider my writing about food safety for Forbes.com, Newsweek, The Daily Beast, and The Huffington Post to be a threat. Go figure.
Wow. That seems pretty counterintuitive, but okay. Well, I'm glad you're here safely and can report this to us. And that's just shocking. I don't know. I'm a little speechless.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's also a lot of legislation that's trying to be not trying to be introduced itself, but being introduced by sponsors behind these slaughterhouses, in which it would be illegal for people to take video inside a slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So they want as little transparency as possible.
For obvious reasons. Yeah.
And, you know, there are some videos that I have reviewed of slaughterhouses, and people don't know what goes on there.
They sure don't.
Yeah. I interviewed Temple Grandin in one of her slaughterhouses, and she's supposed to have designed these very humane processes. And of course, the video shows horses getting shot repeatedly in the head.
Yeah.
And one is legally required to be in compliance with the Humane Slaughter.
I was actually just going to ask. So horses are covered by that?
Well, they are, but the thing that most...
chickens are not.
Well, it's a wonder that you have an act called the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act.
Sure.
That nobody has ever seen it operate mm-hmm. humanely. They don't have video cameras in there. And a lot of people confuse the method that's used on cattle with what's done to horses. And in fact...
Which is what, stunning?
Well, they use a captive bolt gun. And, a lot of people have been asking, what's the difference between slaughtering a horse and a cow?
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is that a cow is a ruminant. And when it goes into the kill box, it plants its feet and it lowers its head. That's where the horns come in. So I'm not saying this is good for the cattle. I certainly have stopped eating beef myself because of what I've learned about horses. But they pretty much stand still, and so it's a little easier to place that captive bolt on its head and fire the pin.
Right.
And certainly there have been videos of cattle who are not fully stunned when they are exsanguinated and
of course
bled out. So with horses, of course, it's much, much worse because horses are flight animals, and that's why you run horses in the Kentucky Derby and not Herefords and Holsteins.
Mm-hmm.
So what a horse does is it gets in the kill box, it's got metal shoes on, there's blood on the floor, and it's a flight animal, so its instinct is to throw its head around and try and flee. So you can imagine with the slipping in the shoes and the head being thrown around that the person who holds the captive bolt, a pistol or a gun, has a hard time putting it in the proper place on the horse's forehead. And oftentimes they miss entirely. So you'll get a horse, as was shown in the Temple Grandin video, a horse that was shown shot in the head 3, 4, up to 11 times. Wow. One is the legal requirement. And because horses' brains are located further back in their skulls, they often revive when they're being bled out. And I think, it's important to know how all your food becomes your food.
Mm-hmm.
But people think that there's no difference between the method for a cow and a horse. And it's, even though the same tools are used, they have much different effects on them physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that also extends to the transport to slaughter, because horses are loaded into cattle trucks. And of course, cattle are short-necked and horses are long-necked. So horses get injured a lot during transport.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot to think about. Beyond just the basic food safety issues and
yes.
the taboo issues and the transparency issues, there's just so much to talk about there.
Yes, and the other thing is that the horse slaughter industry is highly unregulated. And in fact, from the drugs that they take to every part of it, cattle are raised for slaughter. They're slaughtered by around age 2, I think. Horses are slaughtered generally by age 10. So they've oftentimes had a succession of owners, and they do not travel to slaughter with a set of veterinary records.
Right.
And the drugs that they take are banned for use in cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's no, the USDA doesn't have a way of tracking them in horses, and because it doesn't have a way of keeping them out, and the most serious drugs, which I brought with me today.
These are not the fun kind of drugs that she brought to our studio.
No.
Although we are in Bushwick.
Well, one of the drugs that was used on horses is ketamine, Special K. And, it's a horse tranquilizer. I didn't bring any and I don't have any. But I did bring with me a bottle of Bute. Can I reach for this?
Yes, please. So what is this?
Okay, this is Regimate, and Regimate is taken to regulate the cycling of mares, so you can breed them according to a schedule, or else to regulate their behavior, because mares are known for being a little more hormonal. Mm-hmm. So I've double bagged the Regimate because you can only administer it to a horse with a protective gloves and mask, and it can cause miscarriages.
Wow.
So
in horses.
In people. In the people who administer it.
By contact.
By contact, yes. So that's very dangerous. This is banned in horses used for slaughter, but as it turns out, most mares are, particularly breeding stock, are given it. And I put together a little chart of the most dangerous top 10 horse drugs found in horse meat. And so this is one of them.
Right.
Regimate. So,
and it's also one of the most common drugs.
Well, Regimate is not as common as Bute. So I've got some Bute here, phenylbutazone. And Bute comes in many forms. But if you read the warning, it says, do not use in horses intended for human consumption. And this is given to 95 to 100% of all horses for musculoskeletal injuries.
Pain. Yeah.
It's like Tylenol for horses.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of horse racing horses.
Oh, yeah.
Probably need some help with their pain issues and joint issues.
So this one you could actually take out of the bag if you wanted to.
That's okay.
So the thing about...
It looks like a big bottle of Tylenol.
Yeah.
For listeners.
And it's not just racehorses that take it. Mm-hmm. Any horse that has pain. For example, I bought a horse off the track, and she was bitten by another horse, and she had a lot of swelling in her shoulder. So we gave her some Bute. Mm-hmm. And because the FDA has set no safe levels of Bute and no withdrawal times, it's banned for use in any animal used for human consumption.
Because it's illegal for humans to consume it.
Well, humans consumed it. I think they took it off the market about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was used as like a super duper painkiller for people with a certain kind of arthritis. And they found out in the wake of giving it to them that they came down with a lot of really nasty diseases.
So, yeah, there's a whole host of diseases.
Tons of them. And Bute is classified as a carcinogen by the National Toxicology Program. Mm-hmm. And so Bute is probably the drug that most people have heard about in horse meat. And the thing to know is that if somebody tells you that there is no, that you'd have to eat 500 horse burgers in order to be affected by that, they are wrong. Mm-hmm. Minute traces of Bute can cause a whole host of fatal illnesses. It can cause bone marrow depression. It causes a hypersensitivity reaction in the liver. It can cause serum-like sickness that can put you on dialysis for the rest of your life. And it has an idiosyncratic effect, which means that no one can really predict who it's going to affect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got more, you know, I've got a bunch of horse drugs here, and they all...
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, this one is, let's see.
This is a tub.
This
She's
is
just
a
pulled
tub.
Out.
It's bulk powder peppermint flavor. Where's the name of it? Well, in any event, there's a very, very long list of horse drugs that are banned in food animals that they all take. Here's some more. GastroGuard, Banamine, Panacure
She's
Pack.
She's just pulled out a whole bunch of tubes.
And, you know, this is the thing that I've been fascinated by in the entire discussion that's gone on in the foodie community with horse meat. Chefs seem to think by tasting a piece of meat or looking at it, they can tell what kind of drugs are in there.
Hmm.
And they can't. So the idea that horse meat is low in fat and high in protein is really irrelevant. That's kind of like saying, hey, cigarettes are great for dieting, if you ignore the carcinogenic effects.
Are there ever horses that are raised for the purpose of slaughter for meat?
There are a few small operations, I'm told, and I can't tell you where they exist. I have heard that there is a small farm up in Canada. It's, of course, illegal right now to raise it's not illegal to raise them for slaughter right now. It's illegal to slaughter them. And I have heard of one in Iceland. Mm-hmm. But most people think that horses are organically raised without any drugs. And the thing is, you know, you've got to worm your horse every 6 weeks. And the wormer is banned in food animals. And in fact, a lot of people think, well, horse meat's okay in pet food. But the United States made it illegal to use in pet food in the 70s. One of the antibiotics used in wormers is fatal to certain breeds of dogs.
Right.
So a lot of misconceptions about the food safety aspect of horse meat. And the Europeans are doing a lot of testing for bute, and they're finding it. And every time they find a carcass, they throw it out. And even so, their food industry is trying to tell people, no worries, no immediate problem. But the thing about a carcinogen is you don't eat it one day and then wake up the next day with cancer. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is that in order to really determine a safe level, some food safety authority would have to give all these drugs to a control group of people until they got a fatal illness. And you know, who's going to volunteer for that study?
Right.
So, and the other aspect of it is that because most people who have eaten horse meat for a long period of time don't associate it with health hazards, if they've had a miscarriage, they're probably not going to go to their doctor and say, I had some horse meat.
So, In France.
Yeah. So it's something that people should be very, very cautious of. And certainly U.S. horse meat is, and horses are more drugged than in any country in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I asked because, you know, there was a restaurant that wanted to serve horse meat.
I interviewed them.
Okay. And I think, you know, they didn't end up doing it. And this was in New York, and people were really outraged because it's horse meat. I mean, it's a taboo. And I don't think there was any discussion about the food safety aspect. I mean, I'm sure there was, you know, like with people like you and your kind of colleagues, but in terms of the animal activists who showed up and like, you know, the people in the food community, what I heard was, you know, we're not comfortable eating horse mm-hmm. and going to a restaurant that serves horse.
Yeah. Well, you know, the use of the word animal rights activists in connection with horse meat is really incorrect because, you know, PETA doesn't know anything about this issue. They're great on anti-fur and cruelty-free products and, you know, not testing on laboratory animals. But they don't know anything about this issue. And in fact, I did interview the sous chef of that restaurant, M. Wells Dinette, and I informed him of the food safety issues. And one of the things that they did not say when they decided, you know, in their public statement not to serve it, they never said, you know, we found out that there are some really serious health issues here and we're doing it because we don't want to hurt anybody.
Something they didn't know when they proposed it?
I don't think they knew it when they proposed it, but I gave them a copy of a study on phenylbutazone, which my Newsweek article
which
is based
bute.
On. Which is bute, yeah. In fact, when I heard that they were going to serve it, I called up the sous chef and I said, you know, tell me about this horse meat you're going to serve. Where is it coming from? And he said, oh, it's going to come from Canada. And, you know, the horses are treated really nicely. And I said, are they U.S. horses? Yeah, they're U.S. horses. And I said, can I tell you a little bit about U.S. horses and all the drugs they take? And he listened very patiently. And I said, I'd like to send you some information on that. And I did. And then I went to the restaurant to try and interview them. They wouldn't talk to me. And, you know, the other reason why they didn't serve horse meat is because they couldn't get any legally. And that was not mentioned either.
No.
Well, you know, I think that they thought that they would make a big splash with this dish. And they found out that at that time, the protocols for drug testing for importing horse meat from Canada had not been finalized by the Food Safety Inspection Service. And so they had no supply.
Huh.
So they had no supply. And if they did have a supply, they'd found out that it was a known carcinogen. And what did they tell the public? We were harassed by animal rights activists, and so we're not going ahead.
So that was a pretty irresponsible claim for them to make, that they were going to be serving this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of chefs have been saying they're going to serve it with having... You know, if you don't have a horse and you don't know veterinary science, you would probably never think of the drugs that horses take. But veterinarians are alarmed at this. They know what horses take. That's like having a package of meat with all kinds of prescriptions drugs in it. You know, somebody could have a reaction to one of them or any of them and have serious issues. But getting back to that restaurant, they actually did serve horse meat. They served it at Gugamuga. And they served it illegally, and I know they served it illegally because I followed up with the New York City Department of Health, and one thing I found out was that the restaurant told the Department of Health that they were serving foie gras and grilled cheese sandwiches, but they didn't label them as horse meat, and then they served them as horse meat, and it's illegal to serve a product that's horse meat and mislabel it.
Well, this is the whole issue.
This is the whole issue.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is transparency.
It's transparency.
Well, it's one of the issues. I mean, along with food safety and along with just general taboo and feelings about, you know, being emotionally connected to horses.
Yeah. And, you know, what I think people need to understand is how the USDA operates. How much time do they really spend making sure that the food you're putting on your table, you know, was the package of hamburger meat that you, you know, prepared, did each package of hamburger meat get looked at? I mean, some package of hamburger meat has DNA in it from cattle from three different countries. In one half pound, you could have, I know somebody who bought a package of hamburger meat at Walmart. It had horse meat in it from the U.S., Canada, and Uruguay.
Whoa. How does that happen?
There is a lot of cross-border... meat travels.
Yeah.
Meat travels. And in fact, there is an excellent expose in the Kansas City Star called Beef's Raw Edges. And it showed a photograph of all these tubs of meat scraps. And in fact, when the whole pink slime thing came about, it came about as a result of this new process that they'd figured out how to get extra meat out of all the scraps of stuff that had previously been unusable. So what happens is that scraps of meat get sent from one country to another. And in fact, I know someone quite well. He used to be a USDA inspector, and he used to see these tubs of meat from all over the place coming in. And they grind them all together, and the you know, they minimize their liability that way, because if somebody develops an foodborne illness from a package of hamburger meat, how are they going to trace it back to any particular slaughterhouse? And in fact, some of the slaughterhouses that are importing meat into the U.S. slaughter horses and cattle, same plant. So
we're already very vulnerable to having horse meat in our food.
Yes, and we've had it in our food. I mean, it hasn't been in a while. Well, you know, the thing is, you don't know, because the U.S. does not do DNA testing.
And is there any talk of that changing? I mean, I go to NYU for food studies, and my professor, Marion Nessel, made a really good point. And she said, if I was a beef company at this point, I would immediately test my food. And if it was safe from horse meat, I would take out a full page ad in the New York Times and announce it to everybody. And the fact that that's not happening makes her nervous.
Well, I think it should make everybody nervous.
Yeah.
Particularly since we don't have video cameras in our slaughterhouses or in our, you know, you don't have them in the processing facilities where the cuts of meat are packaged, where it's ground together. I mean, you've got hamburger meat that's got, you know, bits of plastic in it. And, you know, over in Europe, I think we should certainly look to Europe as a window into what could be happening here, because their food safety system operates exactly the same as ours. And people love to say, oh, well, the USDA is involved in no better, you know, food safety standards in the world. But in fact, I would beg to differ with that.
Yeah. Oh, so much to think about and talk about. And certainly we could talk so much more, but unfortunately we do have to wrap up here, Vickery. So why don't you tell us where we can read what you've been writing about, so we can stay with you and follow this very interesting trend and scandal that's happening?
Well, you can look for me in the Huffington Post and also in on Forbes.com. I've got a series that I've been running on Forbes.com. And so those two. I pitch articles to other places, mm-hmm. but I'm always good to get them in those two. So,
do you have a website?
Yes, I do, VickoryEckhoff.com. But the main horse meat journalism is on Forbes.com.
Okay.
And if you just put in, you know, horse meat in Forbes.com, you'll come up with a lot of articles.
Yeah, because there's a lot to say.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I hope no one gives me that gift anytime soon.
I hope you'll be spared.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Vickery. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. This is Sari saying goodbye from Heritage Radio Network. All of our programs, all 30 programs plus a week, are available online at heritageradionetwork.org. And they're also available as podcasts on iTunes. So thanks again. And watch out for that horse meat.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. I never did for you, so I went to-